All right, folks, we are back with another episode of the Lane 8 BMX podcast, and I've got someone on here. I met him a while ago, a few years back. At the most, I would say, odd place to meet him was at a Wisconsin state race a few years back. And for some odd reason, this state race had everybody that you could imagine. Anthony Dean showed up, Alec Bob, Josh McLean. It was just all these rippers that just showed up for this state race, and Josh was there. And so from that point, I moved to Florida. He's in Florida. So I see him quite often whenever I'm at a state race or something, or I'm in on the west side of Florida. Let's send out prayers for everybody on the west side of Florida with Hurricane Ian. And right now, this man is sitting in Bogota, Colombia. He did the round five and six, would you say, Josh?
Yeah, so that was round five and six, and then this weekend, so we got round seven and eight. It's back-to-back weekends of World Cup racing.
Wow. Okay, let me ask you this. How did five and six go for you?
Not as I planned. It was a bit of a rough weekend, and I actually had a bit of a crash on Saturday morning in practice, and I tried to do the best on what I could on Saturday with what happened. And then Sunday I tried to ride in the morning and the body was feeling the crash and my wrist was pretty banged up and hurting a lot. So I just decided to sit out on the Sunday. So wasn't the best, but I mean, it happened and I'm quite thankful for how I actually got out of the crash, because I'm yet to find a video or see a video, but what everyone's been saying, it was pretty wild. So.
Wow. Okay, let me ask you this then. You travel all the way from Florida to Bogota, Colombia. You have a crash. How is it for you to be sitting there and watching the others compete when you know you should be there?
Yeah, it's definitely not something that you ever want to do or anything, and even want it to happen to anyone else. But it was definitely like Saturday wasn't too bad, because at least I kind of gave it a go. You know, I tried to do first round and tried to do last chance, but it wasn't happening for me. But Sunday, deciding to pull out completely and not really do anything was definitely challenging for me. I'm not one who likes to sit there. I mean, I don't mind watching, don't get me wrong, but you know, I do the sport because I love it and I enjoy the racing and the competitiveness in it and everything. So it was definitely pretty frustrating, and you know, I was pretty upset about it, but it was also nice just to kind of sit back and watch it at the same time.
not bad. So how was your training gone for this entire week coming up to round seven and eight? Do you feel good? How's the wrist?
Yeah, so we actually had the official practice for the second weekend today. I got it all properly strapped up and actually felt pretty good. It actually honestly feels better than what it does after I finished practice than what it did when I started.
That's not bad. So tomorrow is the first day for racing for round seven, correct?
Yes.
Tell me this, how do you get your mind right for a World Cup? Because man, those things look, it's like the best of the best show up for these things. And I got to admit, but you're one hell of a BMXer. You're one hell of a rider. So how do you get prepared mentally and physically for these rounds? So
that's my roomie.
What's up?
Honestly, I just try and just kind of either come in with a bit of a game plan and, you know, trust that plan is work out. So you just kind of go through the motions and just try and execute that plan, really.
That's not bad. How does the track feel for you? I always get to see you on a flat hill and you just destroy it. So how does this track feel for you?
The track, actually, I actually don't mind at all. I really like it. There's a couple of jumps on the track that the lips are pretty brutal. Probably the most deepest lips I've probably ever ridden in my career. But other than that, yeah, like it's a pretty good track, but it's just, there's a couple of jumps that their lips and the lips of them are pretty damn good and scary to hit. I will admit.
Not bad. Do you consider yourself as a rider, a power rider or a skill rider or a mixture of both?
I feel like I'm a little bit both, maybe a little bit more powerful now. What's a little bit weird to say, because growing up, I was probably, you know, when I was like 15, 16, 17, I was probably more of a skillful rider back then. And I really wasn't known to have the best gait or first straight. And over the years, I've definitely worked on that. And yeah, obviously, I've shown that I've changed that.
Yeah, no question. Is it, when it comes to a World Cup, I'm curious, because correct me if I'm wrong, because it always seems like everybody is physically the same in the sense of everybody's at, I consider you guys one percenters. You're the best of the best. Is it the mental game that helps people win, or is it the physical?
I mean, it's both, really. I think, but like once we're at our level, like everyone's capable. And I think you can go, every race is different. You can go from one race and have a great mindset, but then you can go to another one and there'll be one little thing that's, you know, in your mind, or you have that little bit of doubt, and that can change everything.
Yeah.
And I think that's the hardest thing, of just keeping that like a really good, consistent mindset throughout like the whole day, weekend, or your whole trip, basically.
Okay, then I got to ask you this. Do you have a routine, or is there something where you have your OCD about that you have to do before you race?
I try not to be. I reckon there's a couple of races I have been pretty bad with things like, oh, I've got to wear these socks, or, you know, I've got this underwear that I've got to wear. You know, it's race day. They're my race day socks sometimes. Like, but I try not to. I try not to think about it, because once I'm there at the track, I'm not really thinking about it.
Yeah.
Wow. So
that's funny. I have to always put my right glove on first. I know that sounds weird, but I have to put the right glove on, and then everything else is cool. So yeah.
Yeah. Understood. Well, I actually heard, I think I was listening to an interview a while ago. I don't even know how long it was, but it was of Stephen Curry, the basketball player.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, he wears like he's got ankle braces, and he actually, yeah, he's the same. He always puts like, I think, the left or right on first before the other one.
Wow.
So okay, there you go. You're not the only one.
Okay. I don't feel so strange. All right. What would constitute a good round 7 and 8 for you?
I mean, I always just want to be consistent, obviously. Just that's always a priority to me. My main goal, though, is I've made, you know, a bunch of semifinals at World Cups before. It's just I've struggled to get from that semifinal into that main event yet. So I'm still trying to just work on that and get into that first main event for me.
Wow. I'm really surprised you have not made a main, because, dude, you are killer, dude. So that really surprises me. Tell me this. I'm going to go back in time. How did you get involved in BMX?
So I got an older brother who's 4 years older than me. He kind of was doing it first, and, you know, he did it a lot, and I was still quite young. So my parents were kind of like, just wait, like, you're young. We don't want you to get hurt. Like, using my brother almost as like a little test on me. And then my auntie kind of like was like, you just gotta let him do it. And she actually went to a tour for us. It was, and you could buy Redline complete bikes from there. And she bought a Redline complete bike. It was like, you know, 500 Australian, and just said, here you go, let him go to the track and race.
Wow.
And I was 6 years old and haven't stopped.
Wow. Did you progress quickly?
I wouldn't say that. I was probably like, I always would like be in the main events for my age, but I was more of a kind of 5 to 8 guy than a top 4.
Wow. So, okay. So then let me ask you this. If that was the case, 5 to 8 guy, when was your change when you started? What was that change that made you started winning races And when was it?
Well, I've only won one national championships back in Australia, and that was when I was 15. And I did that was I guess I would rely on I just rode my bike a lot when I was younger. I never really did a whole lot of sprints or never really went to gym. I didn't start going to gym until I was, I think, like 17 or 18. And I just always just rode my bike a lot. And I think that's what always helped me a lot.
Wow. When did you get you a look by the national team to allow you to travel?
Basically from when I went junior. We used to have these like development teams. And they would kind of like, it wasn't completely funded, but they'll do like packages for us. Yeah. And they'll send us as a group to some of the World Cups. So I kind of like in, I think it was like 2015 and 16, I think when the World Cups were in Rock Hill, like I would come to America and kind of did those a lot and got into the, you know, environment of that World Cup stage.
Yeah. Yeah. What's the difference since you grew up in Australia and lived in America for some time now? Could you compare the tracks? What do you think the difference is between the tracks? I've heard that American tracks are not as technical. What would you say about Australian tracks?
I would probably find some of the Australian tracks a little bit more technical. But I think right now, like, it doesn't really matter. Everyone's quite good. Everyone rides different tracks. You can go to, you know, like I was quite lucky when I moved to Melbourne, like when I was younger, I was like 10 years old. We had like probably six tracks within, I don't know. Yeah. Like it was like maybe 45 minutes to an hour. I had like six different tracks.
Damn.
And then I moved up to like near like Brisbane. Like I live in Gold Coast.
Yeah.
And that's about the same as well. Like, it's just, and you get all kind of different tracks. Like I was 45 minutes from a supercross track and I could go down the road that had like a, you know, a reasonably like 5 meter decent track. And then I could go somewhere else that was, you know, a little bit more flat and a little bit more technical.
Daniel, what do you,
so prefer? It was quite good.
What do you prefer? Do you like them both, a supercross track or a flat track?
We'll be right back.
Hey, quick question for you. Are you someone who wants to be fit, healthy, and happy? And what if I told you you could get your dream body by simply just listening to a podcast? I'm Josh.
And I'm KG, and we are the hosts of the Fit, Healthy, and Happy podcast.
Listen, we get it. Fitness isn't easy. Carbs, no carbs.
Just stop, okay? It doesn't have to be that complicated. And that's why we made this podcast. We get straight to the facts so you can become your best you.
So the way to check us out is click the link in the show notes or search Fit, Healthy, and Happy podcast on any of the major podcast platforms. We'll see you soon.
I kind of like both. Like, it's hard to kind of pick between the two.
Yeah.
I like the flatter hills because it's, you know, you got to rely on that power, that strength, and really trying to, you got to really dig and everything. Where sometimes I was always known to be more of a faster person around the track than having a better gait to first jump or first straight. So I like those supercross tracks because I used that, my track speed at the time, that was a lot better for me. To my advantage on the wide open, bigger tracks.
Not bad. Tell me this. When did you make the decision and where were you that you decided that you were going to come to America? Was that a difficult decision for you and your family?
No. maybe for my mom, because yeah. She didn't want me to live on the other side of the world. But basically, ever since I could remember, I've always wanted to basically live in America and do the whole American circuit. So that was, I mean, I would have probably been here, like I've been in America for 2.5 years now. Yeah. And I probably would have been here a year earlier, but I actually had quite a pretty bad injury that actually affected me coming over earlier.
Well, do you mind if I ask what that was?
Yeah. So we had our, it was 2018 in early February, just before, I think it was the same weekend as when the first USA race in Phoenix used to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I did our Australian national round And then the next day I was meant to fly out to go do the Gator Nationals. And it was actually our elite main. And I actually ended up, you know, had a good gate, came out hole shotted, going down the second straight, hitting the pro set. I overjumped a little bit and I just completely G'd out, blew up on the next pro jump, hands came out and just absolutely broke both wrists and dislocated them.
Wow.
Yeah, it put me out for a few months and then I was having surgery when I was meant to be on a plane to America.
Damn. How long was recovery for that?
It was about I think it was 3 or 4 months I didn't do anything.
Wow, what the fuck? That had to be painful as shit.
Yeah, okay. And I still got the plates in my wrist to this day.
Wow. Okay. So you make the decision that you're going to come over to the U.S. Where did you first go to? And did you have a sponsor already lined up and stuff for that?
So I've been kind of going back and forth with America since I was mainly 19. I did grands when I was 16. And then I think I did grands when I was 18, mm-hmm. but it was just grands. Like, you know, I flew in for grands, done grands, flew out. The first time I really came to America was, I was 19. So I was in 2017. So me and my parents did a trip. We did the Rock Hill World Championships.
Mm-hmm.
And then next weekend was it was a national in Grand Junction.
Yes, Colorado.
Yeah. So we did that trip together. And then the day before we meant to fly out to go home, I actually ended up changing my flight to stay for 3 months or something afterwards. And ended up I stayed with Cameron Moore in Florida. I actually went up and stayed with Nick for a little bit and trained there and did a bunch of races and then went home. And I basically have done that for, you know, 2-3 years after that until I was able to finally move.
So what made you decide to settle in Florida? Because what I can say now is that I don't think people understand. There are a lot of pros from around the world that live in Florida, dude. It's insane. Yes, they do.
There's more and more people planning on moving.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That is just, I go to a state race and I think I saw you at the last state race and it was insane. The field, was it the national or the state race? It was Neek Kimmon, Simon Marquardt. You were there. I think you were there.
I think that was Okahealy. That was the first USA national.
Yeah. And I was just, you sit there and you're looking at it and like, dude, this could be like a semi for a World Cup or something.
Yeah.
Does it surprise you that so many people are moving to Florida? Because it's like the new California.
To me, no, not really. So I always planned on moving to Florida over California. One, because it's a little bit cheaper.
Okay.
And because of that very first trip I did when I was 19, I ended up meeting a lot of people and had a lot more friends there. And so I just felt a little bit more comfortable there. And then another reason was... it's pretty easy to travel to Europe as well from there. So it was kind of like I could still be in America and do the American circuit. But if I ever wanted to go over and do World Cups in Europe or something, it's a lot easier. I can get almost, you know, a direct flight there or whatever it is. So
not bad, not bad. How do you like living in America? Is it a culture shock for you coming from Australia?
Not really. Uh-oh. To be honest, I quite enjoy it. I did go home not long ago, and it was the first time I went home in the 2.5 years that I've lived here, and it was definitely good to be home as well. So it's kind of, I keep getting asked the question of where, once I get a little bit older, like, where do I want to, live and whatnot, and it's like, I still can't answer that question.
Really?
Yeah, it's quite tough.
Not bad, not bad. Okay, so you live... Do you live right outside of Tampa or you live in the Tampa area?
So I live, as of right now, I live in Palm Harbor. So that I live 2 minutes from Oldsmar.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's right. Tell me this. Do you like, obviously you're here racing it. What is it about the U.S. circuit that you like so much? I'm curious.
I would say I like the whole hype and everything that they do with the pros. And they're starting to even put, like, USA BMX are starting to put even a little bit more, like, they're going back to, you know, for the main events, doing the rollouts. Well, for the races that we can't do that on the big hill much.
Yeah.
No one wants to really ride up the big hill before doing a gate for a main event. But, you know, like, Salt Lake, we did a rollout. And I think in Akron, we also did a bit of a rollout as well. Well, I thought it was quite cool. I just like the race environment and the atmosphere here at the races more than Australia.
Not bad. Not bad. I have to ask you this question because I'm curious. Is the pro life what you thought it would be?
A little bit, yeah. I think it's obviously changed a little bit over the time with the prize money and the purses and how much money, but I mean, it's besides the money. Yeah.
Wow. Wow. How did you get your ride with Full Tilt in Fritz?
It was actually, I kind of started talking to them a little bit at that Wisconsin race that we met at. So I think I met him maybe at a race beforehand. And then I said that I was going to this race or something. We were talking and he's like, well, we're going to be there too. You know, you can come stay with us, hang out with us, you know, see if you like it. And that's kind of how it really just started. And I just liked the vibe that they kind of had in the tents and how it was pretty relaxed.
Not bad. Not bad. Being pro, I would think, means you have to be disciplined. And when I say that, I'm thinking you have training, you have eating, you have, you know, taking care of business outside of racing. Is that something that comes natural to you, or is it you always have to stay on?
Yeah, one thing for me is I never, like, obviously, like I said, I never really trained a whole lot when I was younger. I just went and rode my bike. I've kind of slowly worked into it of, like, you know, knowing that it's a part of the sport. Like, if I'm wanting to do BMX as like a career for as long as I can, want to live in America, like, it's what I've got to do.
Yeah.
And it's kind of being okay with that of, like, you know, if I want to do this, there's certain things I have to do before that to be able to do this. So it's making sure I do that training so I'm able to be in America and live so I can keep racing.
Not bad. What's your favorite aspect of training?
Battling with friends on a daily basis.
Not bad. Not bad. I like that. Do you ride carbon or steel or aluminum?
Aluminum. Oh, yeah.
Why?
Well, right now I don't, I'm not a big fan of carbon because I like to have a little bit of weight, because sometimes you can go to races and these supercross tracks, like say for one track that's always known to get pretty windy is Papendal.
Yeah.
So when you're hitting some of these big jumps and you get this big gust of wind out of nowhere, it can just sweep your bike underneath your feet. So it just kind of makes me feel a little bit more comfortable and controlled when I'm hitting some of these bigger jumps at the supercross tracks when there's a massive crosswind.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you one of those pros that you like to tinker with your bike, or are you the type of person where a mechanic touches it, you're done, just give it to me, let me go ride?
Mainly I'll probably talk about it. And I'll probably sit there and I'll be thinking about, oh, maybe I should, you know, move my bars or do this. But then I never end up really doing it because I know I'm just sitting there just overthinking it. And I just basically, like, we got a mechanic here this weekend and, you know, I'll be talking to him and I'll be like, hey, so like, Matt, I'm thinking. He's like, oh, what is it now? You're not going to do anything. He's like, you're going to talk about moving your bars forwards and I'm going to tell you that I did it. But I'm not going to actually do it because I know you don't want it.
Oh my God. That's funny. It's like playing a placebo or something. That's
exactly.
You've been doing some traveling with your lady friend. You were not too long ago in Chicago.
That was, I think, last year over New Year's, the year before we went to Chicago, because that's where she's originally from.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Oh, so you got your American girl.
Yeah.
Look at you.
So that's where she's from. And we went and stayed with her brother and his girlfriend. So kind of actually, that was almost, that was like my first, like, in a way, a holiday without my bike.
Yeah.
So, and then this year, I came back from Worlds, did Salt Lake, mm-hmm. and then straight after Salt Lake, we went to the Dominican Republic for a week, what was pretty sick.
Okay, so you had never been there before?
No.
What'd you think?
It was definitely nice.
God.
Definitely had some good time there.
Not bad, not bad. Okay, I know you've got to probably get to sleep, so I'm going to ask you a last couple of questions here, and we'll go from there, all right?
Yep.
All right, so if Josh McLean had unlimited budget, if you could race anywhere in the world, where would you go? Now, this is a two-parter. Where would you race? And if you could bring one person, who would you bring?
So are you just talking about any kind of race?
Any kind of race.
To me, I think it's a tough decision between either the Grand or the World Championships.
Really?
Yeah, I really like Grands and the whole setup, and it's pretty hard to beat. And then being as an elite rider as well, or like, I mean, I made the main event, the World Champ Finals when I was 16, and just, you know, we were in Rotterdam, and that's like just seeing the whole stands always completely filled and stacked is a pretty awesome feeling.
Man, that's not bad. Okay, if you could take one person, who would you bring to Grands with you? Or, that race, who would you take with you?
Well, the last 2 years, the person that I've always brought to Grands with me is my girlfriend. We make a little bit of a trip, and we do I actually drive from Florida. But the last 2 years, I've drove from Florida for a 20 plus hour drive or something.
Ooh.
So, and then this year actually will be pretty awesome that my parents are actually coming over, and they're doing a bit of a 6 week trip, and I think they're going to do the road trip with us.
Oh, that is dope, dude. That's really cool.
So okay. Definitely going to be a good time.
Not bad. Okay. Here we go. If Josh McLean had unlimited budget, if you could go on vacation anywhere in this world, where would you go and who would you bring with you?
I got a place. I just can't think of the name. Probably I think Greece would be cool, or and then the, what's the place that it's got all like the hotels or the rooms on the water?
Oh, dude. Is that Italy? Lake Como?
It's like Maldives or Maldives?
Maldives.
How do you say it? Is that,
yeah. Yeah.
That
yeah,
place.
Yeah.
I think that would be pretty cool to go to.
Okay.
And then I'd probably honestly take my girlfriend.
Oh, you know, you're scoring points, baby. Because if she hears this,
I gotta make sure that she listens to it.
You know where your bread is buttered, my brother. So I respect that. Okay, I don't want to hold you too long because I know you've got a big race coming up tomorrow. I just want to, first of all, wish you luck. Keep the rubber down and get out the gate first.
Awesome. I appreciate that.
I'll see you soon.
See you soon. Have a great weekend.
All right. Take care. You too.